Well, what a privilege. Once again, that I have to be here. I am truly amazed at what the Lord has done. I'm thankful for Pastor Bill, for the leadership, the opportunity that I have to be here and I'll be able to share God's word. Before I start, I just want to add a little bit to the BSM Villa Night. All right, we're going to have, for those that are here, you know, pay attention, we're going to have three awards. One is going to be for the best overall costume. All right, so whatever you want to be, details and all that is what counts. All right, put a lot of thought of it. Come dressed up as your favorite villain, and you can win. The other is the most creative costume. Right, you may not want to be a classic villain. Let's call it that way. You may want to make your own. Right? If you want to make your own, be creative, think outside the box, and show us what you can do. And the third one is going to be boys versus girls. All right? The group with more participants is going to get a prize so they can share. All right? And also you're going to get some bragging rights for that. So, kids, come ready. Bring your friends. Now, if you are the kind that you don't like to dress up really, don't worry. Come and have some fun. All right, so invite your friends. Come over. Let's have some fun. All right. With that, let's pray. And let's ask God for his direction over this time. Father, we thank you so much for how good you are. We thank you because you have given us your word so we can open it and study it. So you can, through your Holy Spirit, speak to our lives. And I pray, Lord, that you may be with us this morning. Speak to our hearts, to our needs. It's in your name. Amen. Well, if you've been here, or even if you're new, let me tell you that Pastor Bill has started a series over prayer. And prayer is one of the most important things in our life as believers. Pastor Bill, last week, make a reference to prayer as being as a fire hydrant sometimes, right? Which is there when we need it. And unless there's something bad going on, we don't use it. And then sometimes, unfortunately, prayer has become that. So he has become in his heart to share to Matthew chapter 6. Verse 10, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. There is the Lord is giving instructions on how to pray. And through that, so we can, as a church, can be equipped on what it means to pray. Because I believe, it's my personal opinion, that one of the greatest struggles of the church today, and when I say the church, I mean in the universal church, is prayer. I believe in churches across the world. Prayer has every time more and more become less and less in the life of the church. Prayer meetings become less and less attended. And we talk and we continue to have this Christian talk, if we said, I said, oh, we pray for you. And a lot of times, that is just what we say, just, hey, I hear you. Right? But it really, prayer has not been, or is not, for the most part, prayer of our life, part of our life. It's not an emphasis anymore. But prayer is important. You and right here in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is giving instructions to the people on three different things, and one of those is prayer. Pastor Bill mentioned also a couple things, you know, and last week about how Jesus goes about it. Right? First of all, he started dealing with the hypocrites, he calls them. Right? He said, don't be like them. Don't do that. Do this. A couple of the times he says, you've been told to do this. Well, I tell you to do this. So Jesus started addressing some of the popular beliefs. Some of those popular beliefs were made by the hypocrites, even though that he didn't mention by name, because of who he calls hypocrites in other parts of the Gospels, most likely is referring to the Pharisees and the scribes, because that is what he called them in numerous times, right? And that is what they didn't like Jesus, because he came to upset that religious power. He comes and says, and call them hypocrites. He said, and Jesus gives instructions to don't be like them. Instead, do this. And that is what he goes with the prayer. And you see, one of the things that I want to also mention, and I'm just basically adding up to some of the things that Pastor Bill already built on about prayer and about this passage. If you see in Matthew chapter 6, verse 2, it says, therefore, when you do, right? So it's not telling, hey, if you do, in this case, if you do certain things, it says not if you do, it says when you do. And also, if right there on verse 5, it says, and when you pray. You see, what I like here is that Jesus is not making a choice. He's not, hey, if you pray, this is what you need to do. He said, no, when you pray. He's saying things in a way that this is not, in some ways, a choice. Not that he want to make us do it, but it's an important part of our lives. It's not if you pray, it's when you pray. This is something that should be part of our lives. And the way he addresses then the prayer, say this is the way you should pray, he addresses, let's call it the petitions, right? He mentions six of them. The first three are relating a little bit to God. You know how we deal with God and who he is. And then the last three are more to our concerns. Right? It's just us coming to him for our concerns. But I like that he makes a point as to say, listen, the first things that we need to do when we pray is to set up and be straight on who he is. Before I start, and before we have that fire hydrant mentality of, hey, God, this is what I need. Here he goes. The first thing that addresses, and Pastor Bill mentioned it, he goes towards the heart. He's addressing the heart. Your heart needs to be on the right place. And then we go right there in chapter 10. That is where Pastor Bill started last week, where it says, your kingdom come. And what does it mean to have his kingdom? It's to say, you are in charge. I want your kingdom to come. It's not mine, it's yours. And what we're going to do today is spend a little more time in the next phrase, that then he goes in prayer and says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So what does it mean to pray like that? What does it mean for me to pray to God for his will to be done? Now, I don't know you, but every time, especially when I was younger, when I thought about God's will, it always seemed to be that when we pray and when we are looking for God's will, it's for this great mystery to be solved. What is God's will? Right? It's like, it's such a mystery. What am I supposed to do? Now here, we are being told to pray, sir, your will be done. Awesome. What is your will? Right? Okay, how do I know? What does it mean for me to pray your will be done? Well, first of all, as Pastor Bill mentioned, it continues with the attitude. This is building on from the first thing that he says, your kingdom come. It's a heart that continues with that attitude, with that belief that you are in charge. Because when we have come to the point to say to God, your kingdom come, I'm all about you one, then there's nothing else to do but ask for your will to be done. You see, it's kind of hard to ask God and to be with God, okay with his will, when I'm not okay with his kingdom. If I'm not going to that point to say, your kingdom come, it's very hard for me to say that your will be done. So they go hand in hand. They come together. One is kind of the continuation of the first thing. When my heart is in the right place as to say, God, it's your kingdom what matters, not mine, then I'm able to say, then your will be done. And then I love that it says, and we're going to just mention it a little bit later, then it says, on earth as it is in heaven. Say, once again, he's not giving room for any, well, maybe it's done this way. No, like it is. His will is done. So it's not about me praying and depending on my prayer is if God's will is going to be done or not. God's will is going to be done. But my prayer is to say, God, I'm okay with your will. God, my heart is okay with what you have. I'm not praying so God can accommodate and then say, okay, you're okay with it, then I can do my will because now you're telling me you're okay. No, God is going to do his will. It's just my heart saying, okay, God, I'm done fighting. I'm done trying to do my thing. And you know, when I thought of this verse, there is one verse that keeps coming to mind. I've gone through many verses. And I'm going to spend the rest of this time. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Before I read, I'm going to let you know I'm reading. I don't know what version you have, but I'm reading from the New King James. The only reason I'm doing that is because most of my studying I do in with the Spanish Bible. When I'm used to it is when I'm getting more comfortable. Well, the New King James tends to be the closest to that, so it's a little easier for me. But I just wanted to mention, let's say, if some of the words are not the same. But I felt that sharing this verse and spending most of our time here, because right here, I think it says something very important, what it is towards our heart, to say, God, your will be done. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, I love that. Because it says, by doing these things, you will prove that his will is good, that it's acceptable. See, once again, these are not be done just so God can go and do what he wants to do. Now, that is for me. It's so I can prove that his will is good. So I can be a witness of God's will is good, is something good for my life. So this is not a matter of praying and saying, God, you will be done. It's not a matter of God depending on me to be okay with it for him to do his will. And I'm just going to spend a few minutes here. What does it mean? What it's saying here in chapter 1 and 2. Well, first of all, he says, I plead with you, kind of. That is what he's doing. He's doing a plea. He says, by the mercies of God. Now, when he's talking about the mercies of God, he's referring to chapter 11. In Romans chapter 11, he goes and addresses what the mercies of God are. You know, some of them are starting to believe that because, you know, the Gentiles said, oh, well, who is the branch? And, you know, because he rejected them, then, you see, I'm better than them now. And he goes and addresses all that and says, no, hold it. God have mercy on them as he has mercy on you. So don't you think he's addressing with these people that have this, hey, I'm better than these people because they rejected God. I didn't. So, hey, woohoo. Right? I'm better. And he goes and says, yo, hold it. No, God have mercy on them the same way he got mercy on you. Don't you think that you're better than them? We're all under God's mercy. And then he goes and continues in chapter 12 and said, hey, I urge you, I plead with you because of those mercies. Because God calls you from a dark place. Because God brought you out of there. I'm pleading you because of that reason to do what? That you present your bodies as living sacrifice. No, he makes a mention of the sacrifice. They were very well aware of what a sacrifice means in those times. What they're supposed to be done. So he takes that as an example and said, hey, that is how our lives should be. And first of all, he says, as a living sacrifice. One of the things that it was required for in a sacrifice is for the animal to be alive. Why? They cannot bring him dead. They have to be alive. And when they will bring and sacrifice, if you ever have a chance, I know if you were like me, you read on the first few books of the Bible and you start reading the instructions that God gives on how to do the temple and do it this way and that way, these measurements with these materials and all that, you're there and after 5 minutes your eyes start going like this, right? But one of the most amazing things that I always came to find out when I took the time to read all the symbolism that comes across, it's amazing. So if you ever have the time, there are several good books that go through all that, and it's just amazing how God, all those little details that sometimes bore us to death, they have a meaning. But here, it said that the animal has to be alive. And they will bring it into the temple, and right in the temple, right at the entrance, there will be an altar. And they will tie the animal. And the animal will be there alive. And they will tie a leg to each corner. And there it is, presenting alive. And that sometimes it means that this is me, almost like also it says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. And I don't live anymore, but it's him who lives through me. It's me when I come as a sacrifice, presenting myself, untying myself like the animal and say, God, your will be done, not mine. My desires, my wants, what I think is best is tied up. You know, and a lot of times, I believe it was a little bit, that when you read a little bit about, you know, the history, things that happen, you know, they will tie the animal. And sometimes, obviously, the animal is not happy, right? He's tied up there. He's not laying, you know, sticking the sun, right? So he's wiggling. And if they don't pay attention, next thing you know, one leg is loose. When that happened, forget about it. It's just a matter of seconds because another leg is loose. Next thing you know, then you have somebody chasing the animal through the desert. Right? He's gone. And I believe a lot of times that's us. said, no, Lord, I want to do what I want to do. Let me go. No, Lord, because what you want to do, I don't think if I like that. I think I know best. Let me go. And then we're there wiggling. And we want to do our thing. And we want to do what it feels best to us. And we just want to take off. And later on, it's like, God, where are you? Don't you see what's going on? So we need to come back and present myself as a living sacrifice. Say, Lord, I don't live anymore, but it's you who live in me. My will, my desires is not me. It's not my will to be done by yours. It's what you want, not what I want. And continues and says, holy. He required, the animal was required to be holy. There were certain requirements for the animal. It cannot be just any animal. It has to be holy. It has to become and be separate. That is what it means. The word holy means to be separated with a special purpose. And that is what they said. The sacrifice needs to be holy, needs to be separated. On 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, you don't have to look for it, but it says, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. You see, that is God's will for my life. When we said, God, it's not my will, let your will be done. His will is that I may be holy. That today, I may be more of a sinner than tomorrow, but less than I was yesterday. Right? Today I have to be more of a sinner than tomorrow. But I have to be less than what I was yesterday. That is what it means, the will to be done. It's to be holy, to be more like him. To be like this sacrifice and say, Lord, I want to be like you. That is your will. That is what I want. Now there's one example that I have used probably once or twice before. Probably some of those that know me here for a little bit longer have heard at least once. But personally, I don't find any better way to explain this. Right? And this is something that happened to me on two different occasions. And to me, explains very well what happened here. Right? When I came here, you know, I came here when I was 21 years old, came to get married. And not too long after that, with a group of friends, we went to New York City. I'd never been to New York City. We have a great day. We enjoy ourselves by visiting different places. And when it was time to go home, right, we were in a van, and we're going to drive through Times Square. Right? So it's late at night. Woohoo! Right? We want to see all the lights. So we come around. Obviously, there's a lot of traffic. And then we come, and obviously we come around Times Square. And everybody just looking around, amazed. Oh, look at that. Look at everybody's looking. And next thing we know, I said, like, okay, we need to go home. Now what? So nobody knows. And, we make a turn. Next thing we know, we're back in Times Square. we took a couple of turns. Guess what happened? Oh, look, hey! The next thing we know, we're right in the same spot. Now what? Then we go around and we come for the third time. Now at that point, there is not much of like, hey, like okay, like, now what? Then we notice that right there, when we're all looking up, there's one of those green signs that says, to New Jersey, that way. There's another thing that happened that was prior to that, a few years before that. When I was in Argentina, I went with a group of friends We went for 2 weeks to the north of Argentina, Jujuy. Actually, at some point, we were through the mountains walking. We went in through Bolivia. And that was very high in the mountains. A few of the people there started saying they started acting weird, you know, the altitude. For those of us who didn't lose it, it was kind of funny to see how they were acting. But anyways, one of the cool things that we had to do, we had to go to a church in the middle of the desert. There was nothing else but this church. A lot of these towns there, they only have a family or two that are believers. The towns are not very big. So once a month, they will come together, drive an hour or two from different places all so they can meet on that one place. Just as a side note, right, a lot of times, how easy it is for us to just skip church for very little reasons. But these people had to drive 2 hours in the desert just to meet once a month. That was great for me to see. But one of the things the point that I'm trying to make now is that at some point we're driving in the middle of the desert and there's nothing. Now, personally, I can see why some people are listening. Because we're on this bus, right? And when we see ahead of us is this long straight road. We look behind it, long straight road. There's nothing else. There's no mountains. There's nothing. So when you go there and you are for a while looking at the exact same scenery over and over, it comes to a point that you feel you're going nowhere. Because nothing changes. Then at some point, and so that was very strange to us, but it made our day, we see right there on the side of the road one of those green signs. To so-and-so, that way. Well, let me tell you, when we saw that sign, oh my goodness, it was like it was Christmas. Hey, look, a sign! Hey! We wanted to come down and take pictures with the sign in the middle of the desert. What I'm trying to say is this. When we are living holy, separated, away from the world, when God says you need to go this way, we can see it. When we are on the world and say, oh, look, all the lights, all the, God is going, hey, that way, boom. God, now what? And then God's will becomes this great mystery. Because we are so amazed by what the world has to offer me. By doing what they tell me is so cool to do these days. But when we're living holy, separated, when God said, hey, you need to go this way, let me tell you, you're not going to miss it. So maybe if we are in a place that we don't know exactly what is going on in our lives, maybe we need to start thinking, saying, where am I? Am I in New York City looking at all the pretty lights? Or am I living holy, separated, so I can say, God, your will be done. What is your will? Oh, it's that way. This is what you need to do. He continues to say, acceptable to God. You see, the sacrifice, when they go through all they needed to do, they will go all the way into the Holy of Holies. The priest will present the sacrifice. And because when it was acceptable to God, he will consume the sacrifice. Unfortunately, one of the things that they start doing, and you can see on the last book of the Old Testament, God is talking to them and says to them, says, listen, I am tired of your sacrifices. You are giving me all your leftovers. You are giving me all that. You have forgotten what it is. It's not acceptable anymore. And they start wondering, like, hey, God, what are you talking about? And then he said, what do you mean what I'm talking about? The sacrifice, it has to be It has to be blemished. There were certain requirements. And you're giving me the blind ones. You're giving me the sick ones. They start making a whole market out of it. Actually, one of the things that Jesus did when he came to the temple and kicked everybody out, that is what they were doing. When there were certain requirements as to say, hey, this animal needs to be perfect. This animal needs to have these requirements to be acceptable. They start, you know, somebody had the idea as to say, you know what? Hey, it is required for you to, you know, raise the animal, but hey, it's too hard. Then you have to travel all the way from who knows where for several days with your animal, bring it to the temple. Let me make it easy for you. $9.99. Right here. I don't know. That sounds good, but, well, listen, I give you that one. It's a little less, but that's missing an eye. Hey, look, listen. That one over there is sick. He may die in a couple hours. You may want to take it now. $5. And that's what they start doing. So God said, you know what? I'm tired of that. I'm tired of your sacrifices. You've forgotten. Your heart is not in the right place. I'm going to provide my own sacrifice. And amen for that. Because he provided the perfect sacrifice. But he said, it has to be acceptable. And sometimes, you know, we go and want to do whatever we want to do, and then we got want to be pleased. And I say, listen, I'm tired of that. I have provided my own. And it's through that sacrifice that you can come to me. Through Jesus Christ. And amen for that. And then continues as to say, do not be conformed to this world. The word conformed there is kind of giving the idea of taking the mold, right? Like yellow. You know, you put it in the mold, and that is when you hardness, that is the form that it takes. And it says, do not do that. Don't go and take their form. It says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. One of the things that I like, when I was younger, it was hard for me. You know, sometimes if somebody will say about me being a believer, believing it, oh, you're brainwashed. Oh, you got brainwashed. It was kind of hard for me when I was in school for being Jana. And I would try to explain, no, it's not that, it's this way. But then the more I come to know, when it says here, be transformed, we say, hey, you got brainwashed. Hey, let me watch, yes. Let me tell you something. Yes. Jesus is changing my heart. And he has put a new filter. It's called the Holy Spirit. And I'm being called to be transformed, to be different. That is what it says. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We need to think in a different way. And then what happened? Then you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, sometimes we don't understand, especially when we see things around in the world, what is going on. The events of last week. And you wonder, how is that possible? And even with the teens, we talk a little bit on Wednesday night. It's a little bit of the question is, where is God in all this? God, don't you see what's going on? Don't you see all the hate? Don't you see people just killing people for no reason? And very sadly, I believe that a lot of times we spend more of our time trying to give our ideas or thoughts on social media than going to God and say, God, let your will be done. because your will is perfect. And I believe a lot of the reason that we are where we are is because we want to say as a society, as believers said, hey, I want to do what I want to do. And look where we are. And then we're wondering, where's God? Where's God? Well, God is where we want him to be. We don't want to say, God, let your will be done. We want to say, no, let my will be done. And rather than to come to him on prayer and to say, God, I want what you want, we just shout and put all the things in Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, whatever else is out there. And make, or you know, everybody needs to know, this is what I believe. They should do this. They should do that. They should not do this. I mean, if you want to do that, yeah, go ahead. But we put more importance than that, than to come to God and to say, God, let your will be done. And I believe that we, as a church, have the best answer to those things. It's not through Twitter. And it's not through Facebook. It's that we come to the Lord in prayer and say, God, let your will be done. Not mine. And then we will be able to test. We'll be able to see that his will is good. It's acceptable. It's perfect. But we need to come to that point in our hearts to say, God, hey, I want your will, not mine, to be done. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for your word. Lord, allow us to be people that come to you with our hearts and say, God, let your will be done. Allow us to be people of prayer, that before doing any comments anywhere else, any discussions, we may come to you, the only one that can provide the answer to all these issues. Lord, it's in your name we pray. Amen.